B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .975 The Fanatic.
3 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show. Of course, Eric Carabel joins us at the bottom of this hour, 3:30, for Eric Carabel on your fantasy football questions. The 3 o'clock hour brought to us by Corpolis Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. I got some Phillies things on my mind that are irritating me. After yesterday's high, I was kind of high on the signing of Zach Wheeler. I'm still high on it, but I'm reading some stuff that I don't like.
What are you saying?
I'm seeing that they're going to be reluctant to go over the luxury tax.
Wait a minute. Seriously?
Yep. I don't like what I'm reading or hearing. He doesn't want to go over the luxury tax. Dude, you put yourself in this soup here. So if you got to go over the luxury tax for this year, you got to do it. Guess why? You're going to lose 25 mil of that the following year when Arrieta comes off the boards. So what do you care you go over the luxury tax for a year? We'll get into that in a second.
Yeah, that's troubling.
Some clarification on the game shows. I had the wrong game show with Joker, Joker, Joker.
Oh, yeah.
That was Joker's Wild.
Liked
it. It had a slot machine.
Yeah.
And it would come up.
I like Joker's Wild.
And Jack Barry was the host of that
Jack
show.
Barry
yeah.
Was the host.
Right? Card Sharks was Jim Perry. Where they would actually deal the cards.
You go higher.
Right.
Lower.
Exactly.
Free.
So it was higher or lower.
Yeah.
And Press Your Luck, your favorite show, with big bucks, no whammies, no whammies.
Yeah. That was my favorite.
Peter Tomarkin was host of that.
And he was a creeper.
He was a handsome guy.
But
he was a creeper?
Rumor. I don't know. I don't want to.
Died in a plane crash, operating his own plane in the Santa Monica Bay.
Oh, really? Yikes.
You can't sue me then.
With his wife.
Oh, that's sad.
Did you like Love Connection?
Yeah.
Back in 2 and 2?
Back in 2 and 2.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the ultimate question on game shows. Who produced like 80% of them? Because they said it at the end. There was always the announcer. Now you got it?
Yeah. Marv Griffin.
Well, he did, but that's not who I'm thinking of.
Oh.
Let's just say The Match Game, a Goodson Todman production.
Oh,
my God. What happened to game? I was in game show hell as a kid.
Those are great.
What happened to it? It's all done. It's all over.
They can come back. I think they're going to come back.
The era of silly TV with handsome game show hosts.
I think it should come back. It should at least come back on like Netflix. Do tons of episodes. You pump them out. It'd be fun.
All right. Let's go to JD in South Jersey. JD, you got some Phillies on your mind here?
Yeah, that's right, Mike.
Yeah, JD. Good.
So you played a high level of baseball, correct?
Yeah. Well, yeah, so, guess. College.
Yeah, college. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all right. So me and you were going back and forth last night about Zach Wheeler throwing 98 miles an hour, right?
Uh-huh.
If that thing is straight as an arrow, what makes you think that he is going to be some supreme pitcher with the Phillies like he showed that he wasn't with the Mets? He was an average starter.
If I have some stats, they're going to answer your question. I'm glad you talked me into this because here's the deal. They had him throwing two-seam fastballs too much last year.
Okay.
His four-seam fastball, the opponents had a .234 batting average on it.
Okay.
All right. So if you're savvy and you're a good catcher like Real Muto, or you're a decent pitching coach like they supposedly are hiring, then you would like the fact that his four-seam fastball, when it goes up, he is tremendously successful. In fact, height 3+ on the four-seam fastball, opponents have a .128 batting average on. How's that?
Okay.
That help you out a little bit?
He's a fly ball pitcher, which he did give up plenty of fly balls last year.
He gave up 22 home runs, but high velocity guys are going to give up home runs. But when they need a strikeout, they're going to be able to get it. Now, what Philly pitcher can you remember when you needed a strikeout could get it, except Curt Schilling?
I could not answer that. I mean,
well, this is gonna be nice to have a guy that can elevate a fastball over a launch angle bat barrel.
Me being a Mets fan, I know plenty of bat. I watched plenty of Zach Wheeler to know that he too many fly balls, and that's not going to work at Citizens Bank.
But I just gave you stats that said they handled him wrong. They had him throwing a two seam fastball. For what reason? Two seam fastball was hittable, obviously.
What about his number two pitch?
His number two pitch is a slider. He's got a really good slider. Just stay four seam fastball slider away, and you're good.
I like
velocity, brother. I'm telling you, I'll take my chance on velocity any day of the week.
So velocity doesn't move. I mean, he's not out there. He's not
98 velocity is hard to catch, whether it moves or not. It's hard to catch up to 98.
I'll take
98 rather than I'll take 94.
Well, don't you have a couple starters that throw close to 98?
Who?
What
starters throw 98? Give me Pivetta.
So Jake Pivetta was not out there throwing 95.
He stinks. 98. He has no idea how to pitch. This guy is a pedigree pitcher. He was one of the most highly touted prospects coming into the major leagues. He had Tommy John surgery. Now he's back to getting into 98. Now, if you're a pitching coach, you handle this guy and you see these statistics, how are you going to handle him?
You got to make the adjustments, like you said. Hey, Corey Seidman from NBC Sports Philadelphia has a great stat that'll help to make you very happy. The Phillies have never in their history had a pitcher who threw 100 innings in a season and averaged at least 95 miles per hour with the fastball ever.
This is what I said yesterday. There was no pitcher that I could ever remember who had this kind of velocity.
Wheeler last year averaged 96.7. That includes the two-seamer. And the year before, 95.9. Therefore, this guy's going to be something the Phillies have literally never had in their history.
Here's the question I have for you people who think that this is bad. How are they better without Zach Wheeler in their rotation? Well, what did you want? Listen, I hope it doesn't preclude them from getting Gerrit Cole. I get it. They still should be in that sweepstakes. How could you be dissatisfied with a guy that makes your rotation better? Whether you think he's wonderful or not, he's better than what they got. Except for Nola, and maybe he's better than Nola. Like, I don't understand his mentality. What do you care what the price tag was? Unless the price tag is going to all of a sudden now curtail their spending, which it can't. And this is where fans come in. Heat on the owner. You want to be a premier owner? Guess what? The administration you hired puts you in the soup, and now you got to spend your way out of it. And if you got to pay luxury tax, Johnny, you got to pay luxury tax for a year. Let's go to Chuck in North Carolina. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Monkey
Chuck.
Man.
What's up, Chuck?
How's everybody doing today?
How you doing, buddy?
I haven't talked to y'all in a long time. I've been working on a military base, and you're not allowed to use your phone during the day while you work there, that's why I have
I figured there was something that was pulling you away.
Yeah, Harvey Point out here in a little old town of Hertford, North Carolina is an FBI bombing base. When you go there, you have to turn your phone in, and you know.
Oh, that's good. I like the rules there.
You have a little transistor radio, so I have a little transistor thing with the internet, and I was able to get iHeartRadio on it, and you're able to just have a phone.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. So what are you doing at the base? What kind of stuff work are you doing?
Well, we're putting big warehouse buildings in, expanding the base and all that kind of stuff, because our company's, we got the manpower to be able to do that around here. So.
Got you, Chuck. You're an important man. I tell you. You're the type of guy that makes America great. Seriously, you're building.
The other guy does it because America was great before he got here. So, bam.
Make America great again, Chuck. That's what I tell you.
Oh well,
MAGA is my mantra.
I hate it. I hate MAGA, and I don't like it one bit. But anyway, I don't talk about politics. I'm an anti-politics guy.
Okay.
But I am, I haven't talked to y'all in a while, and I'm very disappointed in the Eagles. The one thing I said at the beginning of the year, you asked me what was I focused on this year, and I told you coaching and Mike Rowe. And I'm going to tell you something. To me, it is shining through like a bright star. And I mean, they just looked so dysfunctional. It was so sad to watch that Miami game. It really was. I mean, I was just gut punched. And even my wife's like, wow, I'm not used to them looking like that. So, you know, they're going to have to figure out something. We got a $100 million quarterback. We got a $100 million Fletcher Cox. They just signed Brooks and they just signed Johnson. And they're both older players. Again, we're still signing these older players. I know they're proven, but I'll tell you, Brooks with the Achilles and Lane Johnson's always hurt. Why are you still giving these guys big money? I mean, I know they're great, but they keep getting hurt, and it keeps Wentz completely off. So,
I think the money they spent on their right side of their offensive line is money well spent.
Okay, so you agree.
So they're going to shed some salary. Aguilar won't be back. Peters won't be back. Oh, Sproles won't be back. You know, the guys that they counted on to help them this year were mistakes, but those guys are going to be removed from the payroll now.
Okay, well, I just hope that we're making the right choices. That's the one thing Belichick was always great at. He parted away with great players,
but he
always trusted in other stuff.
He did. There was a little too much sentimentality in Howie Roseman's decisions.
Well, this is the new norm. I don't like it. So let's go back.
I got you. All right, man. Yeah. Thanks, Chuck. Listen, the micro thing is interesting. And so I'm looking at it this way. Either way, it's bad. Like, Mike Groh might be incompetent, and Doug relies on him too much. But that means Doug is incapable of overriding incompetency. So any way you slice it, it's bad. On both ends. The guy might not be a quality coordinator who has too much input and his input's wrong, or the guy who's looking at the input thinks it's right and should know better.
Well, Joel said that a lot of times Frank Reich, I know we hear about him all the time, would do a lot of the game planning while Doug was doing like the whole CEO looking at the whole thing. Then he would take that game plan and call the plays based on the game plan. There is a chance that Groh, it's now pretty clear that Groh is not as good at coming up with a game plan as Reich was. That to me is clear. And I don't know how it works with other systems like Andy Reid. I think his offensive coordinator does the same, and then Andy calls the plays. That's why Andy always needed a really good offensive coordinator. So I think that clearly that's an issue that he's going to need somebody better. I think we're kind of at that point.
Yeah. All right. Okay, just back to the Phillies for a second here, because I want to get into these numbers since it's been brought up. First of all, like when we had the same kind of feedback when they signed Harper, if you remember. That was too much money for Harper. And my answer would be, does Harper improve your team? Now, the answer to that is undoubtedly, yes, he does. So look at it the same way now with Wheeler. Does Zach Wheeler improve your team? Look at your rotation you trotted out there last year. Doesn't he make your rotation better? The answer to that is yes. So what possibly could be your problem with it? Now, let's take it a step further. Suppose they said, we really would like to sign Garrett Cole. He's the better signing. Now, I assume they're smart enough to be able to communicate with agents. So they communicate with Cole's agent. And they go, okay, what are we looking for? And the agent goes, $40 million a year. All right, and you go, okay, well, we might be willing to get there, but what are the chances that he wants to play here? Well, I got to be honest with you. If he's going to play in the East Coast, he's going to play the Yankees. And the same thing goes for Strasburg. Now, meanwhile, while you're fiddling with your nostrils, these two guys up your ante and either sign in California or New York, and then somebody signs Wheeler. And then what you got? Oh, gods. Right? So that's the way you got to think of when you're building a team. Now, they haven't listened to me yet.
You've been telling them.
I've been telling them how to proceed here. All right? Instead of worrying about third base, and you got to keep around and play third base until Bohm's ready, put Bohm in a slot. Get Segura out of here. Sign D.D. Gregorius. Play Kingery at second base. You got to find a center fielder. All right? It's simple. Now, what I'm reading here, the team's payroll right now is estimated to be $192 million after the signing of Wheeler. That leaves the Phillies $16 million before they go into the luxury tax territory. And if they go into the luxury tax territory and exceed the payroll ceiling of $208 million, they would be charged a 20% tax on overages. So in other words, if they go $10 million over, which they should, they would be charged an extra $2 million. Now, you're telling me that John Middleton is afraid to spend an extra $2 million just because it's a tax? No, 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 no. See, fans in Philadelphia should not put up with that kind of mindset.
No, no. And he made a choice. They had that disastrous press conference where the three of them sat up there speaking gobbledygook, and they brought everybody back. Once you do that, you have to spend, because you said you're good with this GM. Well, this GM has provided you nothing as far as drafting and developing. Therefore, you as the owner got to spend around it. So you have to spend the money, or you fire the GM. But since you're good with them, then you have to be good with spending the money. You can't have it both ways. You can't say this guy knows what he's doing, even though he's giving you no prospects. Franco, none of these guys could play. So therefore, they have two prospects. Two. One's a pitcher, one's a third baseman. They both have to be on the team, and then they got nothing. Therefore, you have to spend your way around it. Period. This isn't hard. You did that dumb press conference where they couldn't get on the same page about the manager, went for an hour, and they didn't know what they were saying. You have to spend the money. You know what? You better spend that money. They have to get, and now they're talking about, oh, it may keep you from getting a shortstop. No, it better not. They have to sign a shortstop.
Didi Gregorius is going to cost you $12 to $14 million. So that eats up, now you only have $2 million left to sign a pitcher. And suppose it's Bumgarner. And now that Cole Hamels has set that kind of mark, you're going to pay $20 million for Bumgarner. That's going to put you over the cap. But guess what? If you add Wheeler and Bumgarner to this rotation, and then you play guys in their regular positions, and you sign Kevin Pillar for like $8 million to be your starting center fielder and make Haseley your first guy off the bench, then you've got McCutchen, Pillar, a tremendous defensive outfielder, Harper in right field. Bohm, DeGregorius, Kingery, and what's his name? The first baseman.
Yeah, Hoskins.
And Real Muto is your catcher with a better staff.
And McCutchen, in that scenario, is your everyday leadoff hitter, just like he was last year. You can do a platoon in center if you need to, if you feel you need to.
Yeah, because Pillar can be a bottom-of-the-order hitter. You can put him in the seventh spot. Don't worry about him. I do have a little bit of concern about McCutchen being a leadoff hitter 1 year older coming off of an injury. But, see, this is... I can't stand the way they fiddle. And go, well, we got this guy to play third base until... Stop with this fooling around. Get rid of guys that don't help you win. Give guys their own position and let them play in their positions.
Well, that's a money thing, though, Mike. Oh, it'll become... He gets the arbitration quicker if you bring him right up. So if we wait... I don't care about your money. Or you offer the kid a deal like you did Jetpacks and see if you can buy out some of those arbitration years. Either way, you have to get it done. If he's your best option, you play him at third base. I don't care about your money.
You're gonna let Segura hang around? Seriously? For another year? And then you're going to stick him at third base? Or you can play him at second, have Kingery play third and mess up everything? Let's go to Rich in Bethlehem. Rich, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rich.
Hi, Mike.
What's up,
Rich? Plug in your Philly feud. I was watching that. I was playing right along with it.
That's awesome, because the last night it was on as we were taping the second episode. It was on at 9:30 last night, right?
Not up here, it wasn't.
Oh, it was on. I think it was on last night at 9:30. Last night it was on.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And another thing, hey, Bob Bessel, you being up here, some other nice places to go. The Red Stag. And Tapas and Twisted Olive. So if you ever come up again.
That little town square. It's a cool little town square you have up there.
Yeah.
It's my first time.
About the Eagles.
Yes.
I'm screaming at the TV. My wife's over there. They can't hear you. I think the coaching staff, Howie does not get a pass. But I think it's execution, too. Lombardi. He had 15 plays. You knew the power sweep was coming, but you couldn't stop it.
Yeah, you can't do that kind of thing anymore. You got to have multiple formations. The defenses are too fast and quick to just do it that way.
Well, they executed in the Super Bowl run. They ran the ball, and these guys are not doing that. They're not executing.
Yeah, no, I get that, but it's not as simple as just running a toss sweep anymore.
Well, I just think that Howie, the players, looking at the draft picks from 2017. I mean, Barnett's about the only one that's hanging around anymore.
Yeah, they haven't done a good job in drafting. And we'll get to that in the offseason. It's a very key year for Howie Roseman now that all the tinkering he has to do with this team. The coach bugging a lot of people right now. All right, we're going to come back. I see, the thing about Doug Peterson, you know, we all watched that Miami game, right? And in the Miami game, we looked at it and said, that's making me angry. The way that defense played, I'm angry. The head coach doesn't, like, there was one chance where he really should have laid out his team. And he's so, like, he's like such a team-friendly guy that, I don't know. I think this team needs a shock. All right, coming up, Eric Carabel, fantasy football, and you can get your questions in Twitter, MikeMiss975, or my email. Right now would be a good time because I'll see them all. MikeMiss@975thefanatic.com. Big week for fantasy football. Eric Carabel here to give you the answers. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's 3:30. Mike Missinelli Show. It's Thursday, 3:30, and that can only mean one thing. It is time to get some fantasy football knowledge with the great Eric Carabel, ESPN.com. And Natalie?
Eric Carabel is brought to you by Family & Company Jewelers. If you're thinking about getting engaged, make Family & Company Jewelers your first stop for your fantasy engagement ring. Family & Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination.
Thank you. Well done. Eric, how you doing?
I'm getting ready to root for the Bears tonight.
Yes, I'm going to ask you right out of the chute about the Bears and Cowboys. And, yeah, of course, the Bears can make it easy on the Eagles, but a lot of people want to know about the skill players for the Cowboys, whether they can root against the Cowboys but still play the skill players.
Oh, yeah. It's the same always thing. I mean, obviously, they still have a borderline top five quarterback who you have to play. They have a top three running back. Cooper has to be played. So Dallas is... skill players can still get their numbers and they can still lose the game. That actually happened last week. Not Alan Cooper, but Elliott looked fine last week. Prescott looked fine on Thanksgiving. So I think the Bears can win. It's a good defense, and Dallas has not moved the ball into the end zone against good defenses. I'm almost as worried about the Eagles winning their game.
Well, you're looking for the easy way out, though, rooting for the Cowboys to lose, aren't you?
Well, I mean, Eagles might go 7-9 if they win the Cowboy game. That might be enough to make it in. But this is ugly football, man. Ugly football.
Oh, we're going to take 8-8 to get in the playoffs now.
Well, it's better to make the playoffs at 8-8 than miss the playoffs at 8-8.
Is it?
So, yes.
I got to be honest with you. 8-8. I don't want to make the playoffs.
Yes, you do.
No, I do not. Games, no, that's embarrassing. I can't. Once the Seattle get in with a 7-9, I change my standards on the playoffs. Let's look at here. First of all, let's go general. And give me your no-brainer plays of the week.
Well, I mean, don't get too cute. It's the fantasy playoffs here. You're playing the guys who generally got you here unless they have matchups that make it unattainable to use them. Mahomes at New England, I still use Patrick Mahomes, okay? Mm-hmm. Don't get too cute there. But don't try to force like Tom Brady into your lineup over somebody like Dak tonight. Or Kirk Cousins, who should light up Detroit. Cousins did nothing last week. Now he'll do something against Detroit. This is all a matchup-based game, fantasy football. So just look at the matchups, and that it is. And that's why the Giants players, I mean, I wouldn't use Eli Manning in the fantasy league, but I would absolutely use Sterling Shepard. I mean, look at Devontae Parker, a man of very little success in his career did last week, and a 37-year-old quarterback. Sterling Shepard is one of those players that you could pick up this week and still use him because the Eagles' defense is that bad. There's very few guys you could pick up off free agency right now that I would say, yeah, I'd use them. Nobody a quarterback, but a receiver, there's a couple, and one of them is Shepard, and one of them might be Golden Tate, too.
Speaking of Devontae Parker, Now, they're at the Jets. Bad weather. Was that just like a fluke? You like it?
He's a good player who is underachieved for a while. We've been waiting for this for 3 years, and it just so happened it all happened in this game against the Eagles. We've seen this in the past, but other unaccomplished receivers doing this against the Eagles. But yes, he's good, and the Jets defense is bad. This is the week where you can find wide receivers that are kind of off the radar a little bit that you can put into your lineup. And certainly Parker is one of them. Jamison Crowder against Miami is another one that you could use. A.J. Brown of Tennessee against Oakland is a good option this week. Curtis Samuel's been quiet for a month and a half, but he's at Atlanta. He should do something this week. So Zach Pascal playing Tampa Bay. There's no T.Y. Hilton this week. Indy has to throw. Zach Pascal will get at least 10 fantasy points.
All right, I'm curious about the 49ers-Saints game and what you see skill player value in that game.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't use any of the San Francisco running backs. I think a lot of people are asking about Raheem Mostert, at least they are for me on Twitter. And I wouldn't force him into your lineup. For one, we have no idea what San Francisco is going to do. They have three good running backs. But New Orleans is going to stop their running game anyway and force Garoppolo to throw the ball. And I don't really like any of the San Francisco receivers either except George Kittle, the tight end. On New Orleans' side, you know who to use. You can use Breeze this week, obviously Kamara and Michael Thomas, but this should not be like a 38-35 game like the Eagles-Giants game. So don't force San Francisco players into your lineup. George Kittle is really the only one that should be used on a weekly basis.
All right, let's get to the questions. And Clizzy wants to know, Dak a good play tonight, and is Tannehill a good play on Sunday?
I don't think Tannehill's a good play. I certainly would use Dak over Tannehill. I mean, Dak last week was fine. He's a really good quarterback. I mean, we rank Tannehill as a borderline top 10 quarterback, but again, don't force it. I would still use Dak. I would use Cousins. I would use Winston over him.
All right, Tristan wants to know, Mahomes against the Patriots, which you've already endorsed, or Garoppolo against the Saints?
I don't think Garoppolo against the Saints is a good play at all. It's a very good defense. It's another road game. I understand weather won't be a factor like it was in Baltimore, but I have Garoppolo ranked like barely, like 19 or 20. I have Mahomes at like 4.
Okay. Spin Cycle says, PPR, please pick 2. Now, you're ready to like Sterling Shepard. He wants to know Sterling Shepard, Michael Gallup, or Hunter Henry.
It's Shepard. I don't see how. I mean, I know it's Eli Manning and he hasn't played in 2 months, but he should. Everybody can throw in this Eagles defense right now. It's a mystery.
All right, Shepard, and he wants to know pick 2. So another one between Gallup and Hunter Henry.
I think Hunter Henry, I mean, obviously you would only use him in a tight end spot as opposed to like a flex spot, but I do think Hunter Henry's still a better play than Gallup. I don't expect more than one Dallas receiver to have success.
All right, GDW23, what do you think of Julio Jones for weeks 14 and 15? Will he be fantasy relevant?
If he plays, he's relevant. I mean, he hasn't scored a touchdown in 2 months, but he's still putting up plenty of yards. We were surprised he sat last week. We think he's going to play this week against a Carolina defense that was terrible last week. So if Julio plays, he's a top 5 wide receiver under any format. I think he's going to play this week, but make sure on Sunday.
All right, Colin, Kyler Murray or Josh Allen?
I think it's Josh Allen. The way Kyler Murray has played of late is not very good at all. I understand Josh Allen has to play against Baltimore, but his running gives him an edge here. So I would still use him over Kyler Murray, who just looks like he's tired right now. I would not use him.
All right, Mr. Inappropriate's in a big playoff matchup. So he asked, which quarterback to start? Dak versus the Bears, Breeze versus the Niners, Tannehill versus the Raiders, or Fitzpatrick versus the Jets?
I've got Dak rated the highest this week. I understand it's the Bears and it's a road game and it'll be cold and I don't care. Dak puts up numbers pretty much every week. He's the number 5 quarterback for the season. Breeze is not close to that.
All right, Phillip Rivers or Baker Mayfield, Nate wants to know.
Neither. I'm trying to see if I have either of them ranked. I don't have either of them in my top 20, which means go out and pick up Tannehill. How about that?
Okay, Ross, Gallup or Galladay, and James White, Sony Michel, or Raheem Mostert?
I think it's James White at running back. Again, Mostert had a great game last week. There's no guarantees he'll get the touches this week, and it's a tougher game. And then I would go Galladay. I don't care who his quarterback is. He's really, really good.
Quarterback question from Rich, Brissett or Tannehill?
I've got Tannehill one spot ahead. So to me, that's just flip a coin of territory. Neither in the top 10, though.
All right, Ryan wants to know, pick one for flex, Kareem Hunt, Sony Michel, Tyler Boyd.
It's Hunt. He's at 14 points per game. He's only played in a month of games for Cleveland, and every week he's been a good flex or a running back, too. Sony Michel catches no passes.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt does. You want Kareem Hunt in a PPR.
All right. I was waiting for Lamar Jackson to come up. Pat wants to know, Lamar Jackson or Jameis Winston in a PPR?
I have Jackson as my number one quarterback of the week. I understand it's Buffalo. I understand it's cold. I don't care. I would use him every week. He's the MVP of the league right now.
All right. Ernest, he's in the playoffs. He needs two running backs and a quarterback. He has Mixon, Aaron Jones, and Darius Geis.
I think that's Aaron Jones every week, really. You can't force Mixon.
He needs two.
Then Mixon be second.
Mixon, Aaron Jones. Now he has Winston, Breeze, and Wentz at quarterback. Needs to start one.
I do think Wentz will get numbers this week. The Giants are just terrible, and just like Miami was. So I would use Wentz there, yeah.
Okay. Let's see. DK Metcalf getting a lot of love. Flex, DK Metcalf, or Marlon Mack coming off an injury from Chris?
Yeah, I don't want to force Mack in. I don't think he's playing. If Mack plays, I would use him because of the volume factor there. But I don't have a good feeling about that one.
Eagle love from Gabriel. Goddard or Engram at tight end?
I don't think Engram's playing. And frankly, you can't wait until Monday if you've got Evan Engram on a team. You'd have to play a guy on Sunday. I understand Goddard's also on Monday, but I would play Goddard here.
All right. And finally, James, Allen Robinson or Emmanuel Sanders in his flex spot this week?
I would go Robinson. I do think Dallas is going to be thrown on. I think Trubisky makes a lot of mistakes, but you're going to be rooting for the Bears anyway. I think I don't want to use any San Francisco wide receivers right now. And Emmanuel Sanders done nothing the past month. Allen Robinson's the play.
All right, let's just go one more because I love these quarterback questions. Jay, yeah. Kirk Cousins or Tom Brady?
It's Cousins. It's definitely not Brady. He's terrible. I understand it's Kansas City and he's at home, but he doesn't have enough weapons this year. Nothing on a tight end. James White, that was only because they were trailing by two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. It's Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is fine. He's number 10 quarterback for the season.
I love it. The fastest 10 minutes in sports radio, Eric Carabell. Wow. Thanks, buddy.
Go Eagles.
All right. Appreciate it. Go Eagles. Natalie, Eric was brought to us by
Family and Company Jewelers.
That's correct.
If you're thinking about getting engaged, make Family and Company Jewelers your first stop for your fantasy engagement ring. Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination.
Right. So there are people out there going, why does Nat have to read that?
There are rules. There are radio rules.
There are certain rules. You can figure it out if you think hard.
This is radio.
And put yourself in our spot.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
This is how radio's done.
I still don't get it. 610-632-0975. We're back. One open line. You can grab it.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, 3:48 on the Mike Missinelli Show on a Thursday. We're raw out there today. So last night, after the taping of the Philly feud, Tyrone convened a little group. A little group in little, lounge chair action.
Yeah, I thought that we'd hang out.
It was nice. So Anthony and I were walking out. We go, let's join the group. But I remembered it. I couldn't drink.
Oh, yeah.
You had to get the blood work.
How'd it go?
I had to get blood work this morning, so I just drank water, and I wound up waking up four times during the night.
Too much water, yeah.
Well, anyway, I'm thinking this blood work is like it's a four vial day, right? And I skeeve the needle. It turned out to be only one vial, but there was a male nurse, and I have this thing with the crux of the elbow, not taking it out of there.
So where do you have to get it?
I take it out of my forearm.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I go, listen, bro, could you take it out of this part here? And I got an eye roll from the dude.
Oh.
What?
He eye rolled me.
That's none of his business.
Well, it wasn't a macho thing from made a...
Yeah, but it's none of his business why you want to take him there. Just do your job.
Because another dude's afraid of a needle. Like, you know, I could just read the words in his brain.
Phlebotomist or whatever you call it.
Yeah, his...
Coach, you cut it out, all right? Just take the blood and go sit your butt down somewhere.
So anyway, I always have to look at it. So he does it, and I'm going... And I felt something like he was putting a Band-Aid on it. And I go, that's it? He goes, yeah, we just needed one vial. I thought I was here for the long haul.
Yeah.
In and out.
Oh, I'm skeeving out already.
That stuff doesn't bother me.
It doesn't?
It doesn't bother most people. Bothers me. I don't know what it is.
I've had both.
I've dealt with people both. I know people who have passed out giving blood.
I passed out giving blood. Does that surprise you?
Not at all.
It's a mental thing, man.
Not even
so
a
I
bit.
Can't. I can take it out of the forearm all day now. I've been, like the last 10 blood to out of the forearm, no problem.
But you, out of that area.
You get into this area
oh,
here.
Oh, stop. Stop, Mike. Stop.
No.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Ooh.
Lou in Lansdowne. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Lou.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
What's up, Lou?
I want to just tell you the entire Eagles coaching staff stinks. The players aren't being coached up. Carson Wentz, once an MVP candidate, is declining. Poor play calling, not running the ball. He's playing with his shoelaces tied together. The Eagles lost to a lowly Dolphins team, unprepared, unmotivated, undisciplined. They had 13 penalties. They keep saying we have bad drafts. I think we're drafting bad, good players. They're not being coached up. J.J. Whiteside. We once drafted Sidney Jones. He was the top cornerback in the draft. Proposed to be a top 10 pick. He got injured. The Eagles take a chance on him. He's now considered a bust. They're not being coached. We have good players. I don't think they're being coached up. And everybody's giving Peterson a pass. Well, if you want to win another Super Bowl, you're not going to win it with him.
I don't think anybody's giving him a pass. I think most people are kind of disgruntled with Peterson. But I kind of disagree with you about the talent level. A guy like Sidney Jones, I don't think he thinks he belongs at this level. He doesn't exude any confidence as a player. You got to look at that, too. You know, the college ability and pro ability are two different things.
All right, but when they are slotted, some experts are saying that he was that good.
Yeah, in this day and age, they got him coming off an injury, so they took a chance. Now,
right.
When you get an injury, that you know, it might affect your confidence, and you no longer have the swagger of being a first round pick, and maybe you don't believe he can play. He can't play when you can't dress a guy. He can't play. He is proving to them that he's afraid to play, or he doesn't have enough confidence to play because they're looking at him in practice every day. When you can't dress a guy, there's something wrong.
I agree. I just think that the coaching and the position coaches, I'm going to give you Jeffrey Lurie's out if you want to change this whole mess. Fire Doug Peterson. Give Lincoln Riley a call.
Ooh, you want the young man to come in there, huh? Lincoln Riley. He's probably going to get a job. Matt Rhule probably get a job. Lincoln Riley probably get a job if he wants to leave Oklahoma. I don't understand. Like guys that coach like at Oklahoma. In big time jobs, getting paid $6 million.
I would never leave.
Yeah, you know, other than the challenge that burns, that can you coach in the NFL, or you don't want to live in Norman?
Yeah, but I got the biggest house on the biggest side of town on the biggest hill.
Yeah,
I'm all right.
It's Norman.
Listen, you pay
it's Norman, Oklahoma.
Low taxes, low property taxes. All right, maybe not Norman, but if I was, maybe not Norman.
Well, the whole state, where are you going to live in that whole state? And
I hear good things about Oklahoma City.
You hear good things about it?
Yeah.
I heard it stinks.
Yeah, that guy, are we sure that wasn't Joe Pesci just calling up?
In this day and age.
He sounded just like.
The coaches stink.
Yeah, he stinks.
They stink. My face.
Might have been him.
I'll shine shoes no more, Billy. I ain't going to go up there and tell you, you've been gone a long time. 4 o'clock hour is ahead. Mike Masinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.